CBS Eye on the World, the New World Report with Professor Evan Ellis of the U.S. Army War College, Strategic Studies Institute. I go to Quito, a headline. Ecuador says illegal mining is national security threat. Ecuador's government, led by President Guillermo Lasso, said it has declared illegal mining a national security threat. The president is looking to tamp down growing illegal mining activity in various places along the South American country, especially in the Amazon, where there are large reserves of gold and copper. And therefore, Professor Lasso is a man who has stood apart from the trends over these last months and years of moving to the populist left. But the illegal mining, does this come from outside actors? Is this something of the gangs, of narco-terrorism? What's driving this, that the president is now speaking out against it again?
Well, John, there's really a broader story here, and it has to do with Ecuador's mineral wealth and natural wealth, as well as the encroachment of criminal actors. And it used to be that the big resource that was exploited in Ecuador was oil, and the mineral wealth was, which was in part in the south, was not so much of a focus. Under that, you had a big debate about internal areas like the Yasuni National Park, whether that would be developed for oil, and that has gone forward in many different ways. At the end of the Correa administration, you had decisions to basically revamp the Ecuadorian constitution and laws to make mining a little bit more economically viable. And so from that point, the Chinese and other countries, but especially the Chinese under Corriente have come in. There's been a lot of debate by the indigenous who live in the area and one of the biggest indigenous political representative organizations, CONAI, about, who gets the rights to that. You've had debates about the impact on the peoples there and their water rights, people like the Shuar. But in addition to that, on top of the broader story of who gets the wealth, you also have the story of the penetration of Ecuador by criminal interests. Remember, Ecuador is sandwiched between two of the biggest cocaine producing actors in the Americas, Peru to the south and Colombia to the north. And increasingly in recent years, you've had organized groups such as the Sinaloa and Jalisco Nueva Generación cartels from Mexico coming in, working with local gangs like the Choneros, and that has caused an explosion of criminal violence in cocaine industry in places like Guayas, in places like Manabí, and in places like Esmeraldas. So an emerging new story is the fact that this mining industry, which is another wealthy industry, it's not the same group of criminal actors taking out the cocaine, but right now it's small holdings. But so in the south, just like you get in places like Madre de Dios in Peru, just like you get in the interior of Guyana and Suriname, just like you get in the Llanos in Colombia, again, that combination of mineral wealth and criminality and poverty, you've been beginning to get that legitimate mining area is also becoming an illegitimate mining area with horrific impacts on the environment, on water supplies, on the indigenous people that live there. And so certainly you have Guillermo Lasso's government trying to do something about that. But again, the idea of trying to develop this for legal mining and not illegal mining is one part of a broader picture, which is, again, the combination of the question of how Ecuador develops its mineral wealth, how it protects its environment, and how it deals with what is becoming an increasingly serious multidimensional criminal challenge across the country.
Professor, in our final minute, how would you characterize the relations between Washington and Quito? Are they positive? Are they helpful? Does Southcom have a presence in Quito? Because this sounds like an overwhelming problem. Arms trading, explosives, drugs, and gold.
Well, John, Ecuador is probably one of Latin America's best bad news stories turned good news stories. Ecuador has long been, has a very educated population, very professional armed forces. And after the rule of the leftist populist, Rafael Correa, you had a transition to Lenin Moreno, who was originally of Correa's party, but would try to disentangle himself from that web of dependencies and China activities and turned in part to the United States during that time.
30 seconds, Professor. 30 seconds.
his successor now, Guillermo Lasso, who had previously lost an election, but really has continued the deepening of the friendship with the United States. It's included security cooperation. It's included desire to have closer trade cooperation to strengthen institutions. And so Secretary Blinken and others have given, I think, Ecuador a lot of very positive attention. And again, in the otherwise murky panorama of South American politics, Ecuador remains one of the few bright lights, although, as we've seen, under a lot of pressure from criminal and other activities, and frankly, under a lot of political pressures, given Lasso's kind of marginal political position in the country right now.
Professor Evan Ellis, U.S. Army War College, New World Report. I'm John Bash.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
We all make choices. When it comes to alcohol, kids make choices whether to drink or not.
Bye, Dad.
Bye-bye.
Remember, I'm going to Alex's party tonight and sleeping over.
Hey, Em, have a seat for a second. Remind me about that party again.
Alex is just...
And adults make choices whether to talk about it. That's true of parents and every other trusted adult in a kid's life. Kids want to know our expectations when it comes to alcohol and other drugs. They want guidance and honest answers to their questions. And it makes a difference when the message is consistent and part of everyday conversations. So talk with your kids and help lead them on a positive path. Because when you talk, they hear you. For more information about talking with your kids about underage use of alcohol and other drugs, visit underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.